the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back in.
Welcome back to Walk It Off. I'm Danny Wexelman with two of the best, Gemma Kaneko and Ashley Chavez. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Hi.
Hanging out?
Yeah, you know.
Not too bad?
Beat's freezing. I'm upset. Ashley's probably on a beach, but...
We can see her and she's not, but anyway, she's not on a beach at this exact moment, but she probably was at some point.
You don't know that she didn't just bring her fluffy chair to the beach.
And her green screen.
True. Yeah. Anything is possible. I have a car now, so I can do
Whoa, that is huge. Yeah. Okay, breaking news. Ashley has a car. Watch out for on the road. Ashley, what's your license plate number?
Hey, so people I'm the best driver out here. Everyone here is straight terrible.
I feel like we're always counting down to something in sports, right? How many days till spring training? How many days till pitchers and catchers report? You know, there's a lot of counting in baseball. And finally, we're at a real date, and it all feels a bit real. I am almost in spring training shape. My body mm-hmm. is almost there. And we're going to talk about no offseason in a little bit. I feel like I could talk about, you know, all these great things for a long time. But we can say today... Today on Thursday, spring training is officially off and running. Happy belated Valentine's Day, by the way.
Aw.
The loves of my life.
Happy Galentine's Day.
Happy Galentine's
Day.
Happy Galentine's. Rena as well. So it kind of feels like the first day of school. Everyone is really excited, and I'm really excited to kick things off. We are talking to Matt Whistler next week, so tune in for that. Get excited. He is a pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, and he will be fighting for that fifth rotation spot now that they've amped up with Bartolo Colon and R.A. Dickey and Jaime Garcia and Julio Teheran. So we're excited to talk to him. But let's kick things off with our favorite game, a little trend or trash. The UConn women's basketball team did something that no other team in history has ever done. They've won 100 consecutive games. That spans back to 2014. It's a huge deal. It's worth celebrating. It's worth a huge round of applause. But we're going to look at the bigger picture today. And what I want to know is, does this dominance on the court in women's basketball, does this hurt or help the progression of women's sports in general? And Gemma, I want to start with you.
Well, I thought about this question a couple of ways, right? Which is that you really want to celebrate a team that is this dominant. It's really exciting. You want to be able to say, or I want to be able to say, look at all these amazing women and the work that they're doing. But then I thought, if there was a team who just won this consistently all the time, if I just like took away the word women from the word, like from women's sports, or just would this be good for sports? It's no one wants to see a team win all the time, always with no competition. It's always more fun to see someone with a strong rival. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, and I was like, I don't really necessarily want to say like this is specific to women's sports, et cetera. So I love this team. I think it's always exciting to watch them be so good, but I'm ready for them to have an actual rival that would, you know, put up a fight, you know, in some
point.
Sense. That's what I thought about. Because it's kind of hard to say like, is this going to, would it get people more or less interested in women's sports? Like, I mean, it's just a good team. You should watch them.
Right.
But I competition makes everyone invest a little bit more.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So that's where I landed with that. It's kind of, it's like the nuance of it is just, do you want a team to have more competition? And the answer to me is yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. Ash?
Yeah. You always want someone to have more competition. So I agree with that totally. I do think that it's good for the sport now because with such a high achievement, you're going to have people want to watch them lose, obviously.
Right.
So we're going to be watching the Giant, celebrating the Giant, but then cheering for them to fall, which is going to be great, which is going to bring more people to watch the sport, which is going to help recruiting. I mean, women's college basketball is a huge, huge women's sport, obviously. But I think this will get more people to get serious, more schools to get serious about women's recruiting, women's coaches, things of that nature, to create a rival. So I think it is a good gateway right now. It'll be exciting to see if we could have like four or five really strong female teams in college that get us all excited about the sport. Because it is a great sport. It's just that it's overshadowed by men's college basketball 100% of the time because that's also a great sport. I don't know. We should be on the same level right now, especially with someone as dominant as UConn. Someone should be out there trying to make sure that they can take them down. So hopefully that happens soon because that'll be – so exciting to watch.
I like both of your answers. So I think that it hurts and it helps, but I want to trash the fact that it hurts at all because I think to a lot of times, you know, young girls in general, they're not necessarily seeing women doing things like mm-hmm. this, right? And so they don't know they can do it. They don't think mm-hmm. they can do it. And so to see a team rise up and have this monopoly over women's basketball, women's college basketball, is great for the younger generations. And it's also, I think, it probably sets the bar for the other schools, right? Because they see this team and they're like, we yeah. have to beat this team. This team has to come down. So it kind of like motivates. But in the same token, when the same team is winning all the time, and let's take out women, I would say this for any team in sports in general, it gets old, it gets boring. I obviously like to watch Kentucky and Duke and Michigan State and Michigan, you know, blah, 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 all those schools. But at the same time, I want to see that underdog come rise up,
yeah.
you know, and kind of make a name for themselves and start to become consistent and be a bigger name in the game.
Yeah, I really like what you said about trashing the idea that like winning would in any way harm interest in women's sports. Like,
right.
that's actually great. And winning is the fact that they're doing this is amazing. And I think that's a really important point
yeah.
that other like young girls can see this and be aspirational.
Yeah.
That's
so
really
it's,
nice.
It's both yeah. sides. It's both sides. You want the girls to feel empowered. And this mm-hmm. is giving that to them. This is breathing life into that
right.
dream. And it's amazing and beautiful. And they've produced so many WNBA players. Like, mm-hmm. those women go on and play. And that's great to see a woman do something professionally and make money for it, because we don't see that a lot. But in the same token, you know, let's get the other guys a chance, you know, to feel what it's like to be on top like that, or at least run with the big dogs.
Mm-hmm.
No one's running with the big dogs right now. They're in a class all of their own. So, yeah. Okay, so we're going to move on. This is a thing. The hashtag no offseason, we have seen this a lot, right? We mm-hmm. saw Jock Peterson working out in the airport, and we're seeing, you know, Bryce Harper deadlift, and we're just seeing guys do the most outrageous things. But we're also seeing them get hurt before the season even starts. We never want to see that. Alex Reyes, for example, was slated to pitch in the World Baseball Classic, so he's ramping up, he's getting ready,
mm-hmm.
And he now will have Tommy John surgery. He went into spring training, through a bullpen session, felt something in his elbow, and there it was, and now he'll be cut open, and he'll be back hopefully in 2018 for the Cardinals. But it's just, it's really tough to see something like that, and you want these guys to play in the World Baseball Classic, and you want them to come into spring training ready and you know, spring training body ready, but is it worth it? Trend or trash the idea that you've got to really ramp it up to come into spring training ready to go when the injury is just, could be right around the corner? Is it worth it to do that? And Ash, I want to start with you.
I'm going to trend working out before the season starts. I mean, like, if you're injured, it's going to happen whenever, wherever, you know, it's going to happen in
all
the
right,
middle
Shakira.
Of the season. It's going to happen before the season. So, oh yeah. No, I didn't even try. but yeah, so you got to make sure you're in shape, but everyone is different, especially in baseball, because baseball is not about some crazy, it's not football. You don't need to be in some like crazy, insane, inhuman shape necessarily for your position. You can say you're a relief pitcher, you could probably get away with not working out as hard, but and if that works for you and you're a successful ball player, then so be it, that's fine with me, I don't care. But it is fun. I do love watching, especially people in the Dominican, because they always have the most fascinating workouts. They're always like on the beach and they're always wearing jeans, and it's amazing. It's so funny. Everyone's wearing like $200 jeans, no shirt, flipping tires on the beach. That's incredible. I want to be that person all the time, but I can't. I don't have a tire or anything like that. I do have a beach.
Not yet.
I guess no excuses. I'll find something.
I do have a beach.
You have a beach too.
Yeah, it's
all right.
Covered
it's
in garbage and diapers
beach.
And corn cobs
yeah,
and
it's,
weird
it's a
things from the sea.
Beach. Yeah, I know. It's not a good one. But so, I do like watching people's workouts to an extent. Some people, like Jock, come on. In the airport, come on, you know, that's a little much, but
you gotta get
funny.
Your kicks
they,
where
they
you can.
No off season,
yeah.
Ashley, not
yeah.
even in the airport,
not even in the airport. But I have to wait just 1 hour to get onto a plane for maybe 45 minutes.
Rough life crazy. Over there, Gemma. What do you think?
You know, I'm gonna trend it as well. I do think that I do not really go to the gym ever, so I'm in no position to be commenting on anyone's level of fitness because I'm extremely lazy. So it's just like, I can't tell you what
but if
to
reading,
do.
If reading was time. A sport, you would be like the fittest. Champion. You would be like CrossFit queen.
It's true, but it's not. Yeah. And instead, I'm just flop around on my couch and read a book with chips. Like
exercising your eyes.
Exactly. So I can't say people should work with trainers who can help them figure out what their physical limitations are. And also, in terms of Tommy John, like, there are so many different factors and causes there that I think that there's not one size fits all prescription that says, like, if you do or do not do these things, you will or will not have this surgery, you know? So the no off season thing, I don't really think contributes so much. And I do like seeing everyone's ridiculous workouts.
Yeah.
It makes me laugh a lot. Every time someone does a box jump and then they are like, oh, you just box jump 55 inches. I'm going to box jump 40. Like, I'm going to jump off a tower. You're like, okay, guys, whatever. This is ridiculous.
That's such
this.
Like a manly macho thing to just one up each other in the most ridiculous fashions. And I agree. So I think I like the idea that they're staying in shape and they're staying fit. And I also think that there's no way Alex Reyes could have known that that was going to happen, even though he was ramping up for the WBC. I think that it's okay and it happens. It's so unfortunate. It literally breaks me because this guy is ready to break out and show everyone what he can do. Like, I feel like he is priming to be Carlos Martinez, like the ace for the team now. And there's so much potential, and now it's delayed. And we saw that with Zach Wheeler, who also felt a little something or other in his elbow at spring training in Mets camp. And people have been waiting for him. I mean, this five-man rotation. Yes, he's been, you know, just the name is just sitting there. I feel like it's crazy.
I mean, the studies do say that the best predictor of whether or not you will be injured is if you have already been injured.
Absolutely.
You know, so there's not very much more to look at, I think, for us to say, oh, this does or does not make you more likely to get injured.
Right. And then
there are a lot
a guy
of guesses, but yeah.
Like Seth Maness, who opted to not do it. He's doing alternative measures, and he just got you know, picked up by Kansas City, so he's going across the state to hang out with them, and we'll see how he does. But I had a chance to go to Massachusetts a few weeks ago, and I saw Corey Kluber work out.
Ah.
It was really cool. Yeah. Very quiet guy, but his trainer was so smart, and he said, we watched what Kluber did. We saw how much he threw in the postseason, and so we waited. We waited a lot longer to start him than we did in years past. And he does a lot with weighted balls, and Lindsey Barra has this incredible article out about it. And you can see, you know, some people are against it, some people are for it, blah, blah, blah. But the point is they noted what he did in the regular season, and they said, all right, we need to hold up, you know, pull the reins back a little bit. And the when I saw him like 3 weeks ago, that was the first time he was like throwing in the off season. So,
oh,
wow. Yeah. So it's great.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
So I don't know if the off season matters at all. I think, you know, your body's going to do what it's going to do. And you on the other side of that cap is you do have to have someone who's like, hey, you know, wait a second, put that weight down. All right, guys, there are still names on the board. There are still guys left who are twiddling their thumbs at home right now, not in Arizona or Florida at spring training, hanging out with their bros. It makes me a little bit sad. Matt Wieters, I'm a little sad for you right now. But what I want to know is, are there trades that you guys still want to see that haven't happened yet? Or is there a guy that you're like, we'll count out Sergio Romo for this. Sorry, Ash. But are there guys that you wish would have gone somewhere else? Gemma, what do you think?
There are some people that we all thought, I think, were going to move over the offseason and didn't, which is kind of interesting now to see when I think these things probably will happen in the actual season. I just wonder when it will be. So like the AL Central, which I mentioned a while ago, about perhaps there are going to be a couple teams in that division that will be selling. So,
very quickly.
Yeah. So like everyone thought that maybe Brian Dozier would go to the Dodgers. That was a speculation. But I do think that he probably will not be on the Twins in September.
Yeah.
So I will be interested to see. You know, that will be interesting. I don't know where he will end up, but I definitely think that he's a name that's out in the game. Just like I think that the White Sox still have chips, and they obviously did so well for themselves through winter meetings, that team has planning a future for themselves, and they still have Jose Quintana. Maybe they are planning on building around him. Who knows? But I think that we could definitely see some interesting stuff go down in July and the end of June with those guys.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Ash?
Yeah, it's It's interesting now because I feel like every year we've been so spoiled with some super huge free agent that they literally let go into spring training before they find a team. And it's usually a Boris client every single time. But we don't have that this year. And I was kind of thinking we would with McCutchen or with Bautista. We obviously don't have that now, and they're sticking with their team. So it's kind of a letdown for everyone, I think. Literally everyone.
I would have been so sad if Kutch played for another team, though.
Yeah.
He's just...
I mean, no, I want him out because I was wanting to see Andrew McCutchen in another team. It would just be weird. It's already weird without the dreadlocks. Let's put him in another uniform, you know, and just switch everything up and just really confuse everyone. But I was hoping to have someone that was going far into spring training before they finally found a team. So now we have just like a couple guys that will certainly find teams like Weeders and stuff like that. And but I guess I'm, because I'm being a homer, I guess I'm curious to see where Jake Peavy's going to land. I have a feeling that if he does not retire and he stays with baseball, he's going to end up in the Giants' pen just because he loves Bochy so much and that team. And I think he would just be happy to play a little bit of baseball whenever possible and support his new pals. As far as trades that I wish had happened, it's staying in the NL West. I wish Kenley Jansen either went to the Giants or far, far away, just the furthest away from us as humanly possible. I would love to see him on another team, but they need him. The Dodgers absolutely needed someone in the pen that was stable, and they're building around it, so they're doing the right thing, I guess. But yeah, I wish he went to the Giants. That was the only thing. I almost wrote Brian Sabian a letter, like, please save, please send Kenley. Here's all my money, if that helps. Didn't work out.
I want to combine Kutch and Dozier because I feel like these are two guys in organizations that aren't letting them shine as bright as they should. Like, I feel like these are guys who can grind it out every day. These are guys who can contribute. They're not necessarily going to be, you know, number one or the face of the franchise, but these are the guys you want on your team when you're in October, because they've been there, they have the experience, they're veterans, and I feel like they are both in places that are going nowhere fast. Like, Pittsburgh can contend. I don't necessarily think as poorly as Ash does, but I feel like it's not the place for Kutch. I feel like he's moving to right field.
I mean, I think that Kutch is the face of that franchise, though.
Still?
Like, yeah, I absolutely, I mean, because who else is it? Can you think of someone else on that team that you're like, yeah, that guy is the face of the franchise? Like, to me, it's Kutch just because his peak was so high for them, and also he does a lot for the city of Pittsburgh, and so people really love him. I mean, I guess there's a possibility, like, Starling Marte steps into that gap. I don't know, but whereas I do not think that Dozier is the face of the Twins franchise.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I guess my point is not necessarily the face, but I feel like he's not in a position to, like, be his best self. I don't know. I feel like he's run the gamut there, and I feel like his time is up, and he could just use a fresh start. Brian Dozier could use a fresh start and really show who he is and what his talents are, but it's being buried right now in Minnesota, and that makes me just really sad for him because I feel like he's got it. And it's just hanging out. Like a lot of guys are on teams, and we could say Nolan Arenado as well. Like, you know, would love to see him go somewhere else.
Yeah, I like that. That's
poor
good.
Guy.
Yeah. So
and Paul Goldschmidt forever.
And Paul forever Goldschmidt. I mean, the guy deserves so many MVP awards that he'll never ever.
Do you remember? Let's like flashback to a year ago. This time last year, and we're like, oh man, look at the D-backs and all the moves that they made. they made a lot of trades. And so now we're looking at these teams that have mostly sat pat, and maybe that's the right thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's
it absolutely
the thing.
Is. Yes.
Who knows what to do anymore?
Yeah.
What is the recipe for success? All right, 2018, we're looking ahead to the future. The World Cup will be in Russia. And, you know, just saying the word Russia, I feel like people should think, okay, the World Cup, security issues, things, you know, to look out for. And that also brings us back to the Olympics that were in Brazil, in Rio, and the issues that arose there, the security, the health. There were a gamut. The list is very long. But the FIFA president, Gianni Infantino, said that he's not worried. He said that the hooliganism is not a concern of his, and everything will take care of itself. But that is, we all know, not the case. And turning a blind eye to issues like this is exactly how we deal with things like Rio. And look today, what's happening there now? The things are still happening there. We just cleaned up our hands and said, see you later. And no one needs that to happen in Russia. And we shouldn't be going to Russia if it's not a safe place to be. But I know Gemma and Ash, you guys have some burning thoughts on this. So I'm gonna hand the table over. Yeah, this, I can see the steam coming out a little bit, but Gemma, like, you know, what are your thoughts
on
this?
I just trash this opinion entirely. Everybody knows that soccer, that Russian soccer has a hooliganism problem. Like, a lot of teams have this issue, but it is specifically pronounced in Russia too.
Okay.
Just in terms of the fact that racism is a big issue on Russian teams. That is, it's just a story that comes up over and over and over again.
Right.
That people yell racial slurs. Some people throw bananas on the pitch. It's just like not. It's a problem that has not been addressed. And I think it's really irresponsible to say that it'll be fine when no amount of programs or has managed to really put a conceivable dent in something that already happens just in Russian soccer. And the World Cup brings in a huge international audience. And this is the year that everyone in America, like every 4 years, everyone in America loves soccer for a month, right?
Yes.
And
we all become fans.
It's also really irresponsible to just pretend that's not a real thing. I think that it is FIFA's job to at least pretend to have some leadership in this area, especially since no one trusts anything about FIFA anymore. Like, why is the World Cup in Russia? Makes everyone feel really uncomfortable. How did Russia get it? Etc. Like, that the corruption that is there, they are not doing a good job in restoring faith in this body. And it's also just, you can see from the Euro Cup, people who got in fights, like Russian fans got in fights with French fans and with English fans. This is something that's happening in the street all the time. And I'm just really embarrassed and sad for FIFA that they can't even make up a fake plan for how to address this. At least pretend you care.
Damn.
Yeah.
Ash?
I mean, I wasn't going to trash this. It's very silly to bring anything to Russia at all. But it is, am I disappointed or upset? No, because what good has FIFA done? What's the last good thing FIFA has done that you can remember while you're still alive? You know what I mean? Because anything that was good that they did do, you were just too young and you didn't have the internet to like really tell you what was actually happening. They're never going to give us a good product, because they're always going to sweep morals under the rug every single time, as long as money's involved. There has to be corruption. There has to be a country willing to do poorly for their people in order to get a lot of money for themselves coming in from the World Cup. So it is very unfortunate. We're just going to have a slew of terrible World Cup cities and areas, corruption and slavery and all this stuff for such a long time. I mean, at least 12 years, right? We have Qatar coming up as well, which is going to be absolutely, that is straight insane with all the deaths that are happening and the fact that we are still moving forward with that. I mean, what is the line? You have people literally dying and having slave labor, and we're still not doing anything about that. I just can't see how we're going to fix this issue. I mean, and the worst part is, of course I'm watching the World Cup, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I'm not going to boycott that. Because it's not the players' fault, but it's not like we're giving them any money. It's just it's a terrible, terrible situation that we're in.
Well, this is my issue too, is that I think the players will suffer, because this does happen.
Will
suffer. It happens.
Exactly.
In cities where soccer fandom is extremely positive, like in Rio, there were still incidents that were extremely negative, fans fighting each other, fans like being aggressive towards players. And I think that where a culture like that kind of already is acceptable and exists, saying you're not going to address it, like, that is going to harm players, which is what is, I mean, there's so many things that are wrong with FIFA, but not even having this basic decency to try to make this environment safer for the people on the pitch is just awful to me.
Yeah, they're doing literally nothing. And you would think, and maybe they're trying to lay low right now just because of everything else that has happened. You got it. Exactly like you said, Gemma, at least pretend like you have a plan in motion and then just don't do it. But at least give us something to make it seem like, okay, they've moved on from Blatt. Everything's going to be way better now. And at least a little bit, just a little bit moral But no, no chance.
Yeah, at least gonna continue say, on. Like, at least say, oh, we don't want these things to happen. Like, we do not endorse this kind of fan behavior.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're going to, when they have the same, when they have the anti-racism campaigns, like, that is a big visual symbol. At least be like, we are going to have these ads or these billboards, whatever. Just something.
They're not going to do anything about this hooliganism, which, by the way, I'm hoping that there's a way, Rena, that you can put a little hooliganism counter at the bottom of the screen in the Chiron and then just have it like ticker up every time we say the word hooliganism, because it's a great word and we should continue to say it. But I do feel like that they at least should not condone it and say that's not a problem for us, just like Gemma said. That's crazy. That is crazy to say we're not concerned with this. I mean, my God, you absolutely should be concerned with it. At least say you are concerned with it for everyone else's sake. Do an anti-racism situation. I mean, when's the last time that any Russian teams got, the fans got in trouble for doing something racist? You know what I mean? They don't punish them the same way. It's crazy. That's crazy. I don't know. It's silly. That's so, Russia.
Just really quickly, and then we're going to wrap. To your guys' points, I think what I worry about the most hearing this in general is what is the breaking point? As you mentioned, you know, the awful things that are happening over there and in Qatar. But what's the point that things change? And do they ever? I mean, corruption is so deep and twisted and windy. Is there something that's so terrible? I hate even saying that, but like, what's going to make it stop? And I don't know if that will stop in our lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, I have no. When we had Julie DeCaro on way back during the Olympics,
right?
She talked about being on the ground in Rio and like talking to reporters and people and seeing that the toll that this was taking on average citizens.
Yeah.
But ultimately, then we watch the Olympics and we get really amped. And then months later, you look at photos of dried up swimming pools that nobody is using. You look at only 10% of the Olympic Village has people living in it when it's supposed to be housing. And we're going to read the stories, but there's still going to be another Olympics. And
we're still going to watch.
Yeah.
My thoughts on how to change this, because human lives do not matter in this situation. The only thing that matters is money.
Okay.
So the only thing that changed FIFA and got them to get serious about this huge corruption scandal that they had last time was when people started backing out, when McDonald's was like, I don't know if we're going to continue this relationship with
point.
You.
Yeah.
So the only way that we can stop this is to boycott the companies that are supporting and sponsoring FIFA, so that they eventually are like, yo, you got to change before we can keep giving you money, because that's the only way any change will happen. Human lives don't matter in this situation.
I think you're right.
I want to put an exclamation point on that. So to go off that great, that really great point, Ash, something positive coming out of the NFL, so that's nice to always be able to talk about. The NFLPA and the Ad Council came up with this incredible ad during the Pro Bowl, Love Has No Labels, and it was the most, like, heartwarming, just, you know, wanted to go hug somebody ad, and it came out from the NFL, and it was really great to see them embracing that love knows no color, no race, religion, gender, sexuality. It doesn't, you know, it's blind, and that's a really great message. And I loved seeing it come from the NFL. So, like, hat tip and hats off to you guys for doing that. It was a really incredible thing. Our podcast is on iTunes, and I can't tell people enough to rate, subscribe, watch, listen, participate, be our friend, all the great verbs that you can do with podcasts. But do it, please. We would love it. It's Walk It Off. We are Walk It Off. I'm Danny Wexelman with Gemma Kaneko and Ashley Chavez. You know, spring training, a few days in, a lot of things have already started circulating, and it's really exciting. And I think, you know, once Matt Wieters comes off the board, you know, then we can all move on with our lives. Jake Peavy, too. But I'm really excited. Obviously, NBA season and hockey season will be wrapping up in a couple months, and then baseball season will be in full force. So we're hanging out. We're always here. You can find us on all the platforms and all the places. But thanks for hanging out, and we'll catch you next time.
Now the 2-2. Well hit, down the left field.